You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Chwaba.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of tonight's episode of Nightlight. Starring me, Pete Chwaba, and the kid Conrad Krieger, who is on the other side of the glass. If you missed the first, the first show... we had a rip-roaring good time. We were very proud of ourselves. I did not make a joke about Wednesday being hump day. We acknowledged hump day, but I will not lower myself to do like a someone's got a case of the Mondays style joke for hump day, because that would just be rude. But we are barreling through this show, and we talked about friendly cities in Wisconsin. That was fun, right, Con?
Yeah, Gotham, number one.
Gotham, Wisconsin. Wait a minute. Is there a Gotham, Wisconsin?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this. Where is it?
More middle, kind of central Wisconsin. It's unincorporated, I believe.
Okay.
You drive through it a couple times if you go, I can't think of, if you're going from Green Bay to Wausau or something. Farther out. But okay. Yeah, every time I go through it, I'm just like, where's Batman, you know?
It's the real Gotham.
I need to see right. The Joker and Batman.
I'm sure they've never heard that joke before either, by the way.
No, so definitely
you should make that every time you stop there for gas or, hey, where's Batman? Oh, that's great. We never heard that before.
It would be cool if the one, like, because there's not that many buildings. You know, it's incorporated. The one bar was actually, like, just a Batman bar.
The Batcave.
It would be hilarious.
That would be fantastic. We talked to our friend Melissa Kay, who told us all about the theater community in central Wisconsin over there in Wisconsin Rapids, and about an issue trying to, as the news director there, she tries to engage people and get them kind of find out where they are on local issues. We talked about a few things going on in central Wisconsin. It was great to catch up with Melissa. Coming up at 6:35 after the news, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller will be here. We'll talk about award shows. Oscar nominations are coming out next week. After the Golden Globes, which take place this weekend, we'll talk about all of that with Matt and what to expect. I think this is fun. I like trying to predict what's going to win, which films will be nominated, because in my opinion, that is kind of a win. And that'll be fun to talk about with Matt. He's also seen quite a few films that I haven't, so we'll talk to him about that as well. We rarely have Matt and Rob on back-to-back. So I'm going to try to cover some things with Matt that we did not cover with Rob last night. But you know what I saw? I saw the new Knives Out movie.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot.
I think it's my favorite.
I would agree with that. And I liked the first Knives Out. Second one, I was dozing. It wasn't bad. It was just, I just didn't hold my interest that much.
The second one to me was more of like, let's try to make them laugh in this film.
Yeah.
Instead of actually having like a really good mystery.
Right.
And I mean, exactly. That was my least favorite. Like, yeah. I got bored of it. The beginning of it was hilarious. I'll give him that. Like, it caught my attention a little bit.
The second one,
and then it
one?
Just
yeah.
dragged after that.
Yeah.
But the third one, that one was so good.
It's great.
Fantastic.
I loved the whole Catholic angle was well done, I thought. I loved that actor. I can't think of his name at the moment, but he was in Challengers. As one of the tennis players. Now it escapes me, but Daniel Craig was great. Not Meryl Streep, but Glenn Close was outstanding in it. It was a really fun movie. So I like that. And maybe I'm going to see if Matt has watched that movie too, see what he thought about it. But we'll talk to Matt at 6:35. Movies and award shows, that'll be fun. And then in hour number three, writer, comedian, actor Danielle Koenig will be here. We are going to talk about a few things, but we're going to really dive into Albert Brooks and some of our favorite Albert Brooks movies. So if you're a fan of Albert Brooks or just comedy from probably the last generation right before mine, that will be a fun conversation. Albert Brooks grew up, Rob Reiner was his best friend growing up. Carl Reiner obviously was Rob Reiner's dad. So Albert Brooks grew up around that. Albert Brooks's brother was named, his real name was Bob Einstein, but he went by Super Dave Osborne. Albert Brooks's father was a comedian who went by Park Your Carcass, I believe, and died at a roast in Beverly Hills. So he's been around show business whole life, and he parodies it very well. And even when he's not parodying show business, his comedies are top-notch. So we'll talk about that with Danielle. She's a big Albert Brooks fan as well. And there's your show. Our question of the night. I think we should just reintroduce the con. Let's quit messing around here. The kidding around is pretty much over. Here's the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It's a statement. I admit. Tonight's question is a statement of the night. Name an actor or celebrity whose fame you just don't understand. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know on the text line or on the app, or if you're watching the radio on the stream at YouTube, Facebook, or X. Tell us whose fame you just don't understand, and we'll read it on the radio. Great fun. We've got a lot of texts we've got to get to, don't we?
Yes, we're actually getting a lot of texts about Gotham.
I saw that on the stream. Casey James.
I was thinking about a different town name in Wisconsin, between in Waupaca area.
And it's
Embarrass. It's the other town name I was thinking about.
That's where, a name
that
of
I drove
a town?
Through. It, oh. Yeah, so it's not where I was thinking about.
Okay.
And Gotham is close to Richland Center now that I'm looking at the text line here.
Gotham. That's a big hitchhiker town, right?
So you got to make sure you say go thumb.
There's no B on thumb. It's go dash thumb. This is Casey James on the stream saying west of Spring Green, Gotham, not like Batman. So are you thinking of a different town, or is it the town you were thinking of?
I was thinking because I have gone through Gotham before. Okay. But the city I was thinking about between Green Bay and why can't I think of another
town? Wausau?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's think of a different town, but yeah.
It's not named Gotham, though.
No.
Okay.
Gotham.
Okay. Well,
do we get this now?
This is a topographical nightmare. Casey, thank you for the information. And Lil Irv on the stream says it's between Spring Green and Richland Center. Nightlight listeners, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to geography in our state, they don't mess around.
Yeah.
And Lil Irv did say, hi, Sid. So he didn't leave you hanging, Sid. He's out there. Jim from Appleton in the 920 says Christmas tree. Wait a minute. Am I going back to yesterday? God, no wonder I thought I had so many texts. There's like 400 texts here, but a lot of them from yesterday.
Yeah, you
this
are.
This is the.
Our first text tonight is from Jack from Merrimack, if you see that.
All right. Why don't you read that one while I get caught up here, buddy?
Well, he's Jack from Merrimack said, I learned to cut my own hair during COVID and haven't been to a barber since. Do the beard
really?
Too, $50. Do the beard. Two for $50 with a complete rechargeable kit that continues to work perfectly, if that makes sense. So he does the beard as well.
But if he doesn't go
with
to
a rechargeable kit.
So he does it himself.
It costs him $50 to get that kit.
Oh, I thought he was like charging himself $50. Like, well, that defeats the purpose.
That's how good he is, you know?
Keep the money in-house.
That's
in
how
house.
Good he is.
Right, exactly. All right, that was Jack from Merrimack. Brett from the 920 says, actually, that's not true. Dallas hosted Philadelphia. What am I reading here, Conrad?
I think he's for the previous talking show. About, no, I think he's talking about the fun fact maybe you shared.
Oh, yeah, but the Bears and the Packers, last game of the year, but the stat was that the two teams, their last loss in the regular season were against each other. The Bears' last loss was to the Packers. The Packers' last loss was to the Bears.
I think,
and now they're meeting in the playoffs, and I think that was the statistic that had never been.
He's saying that they faced each other the last 2 weeks in a row, which is weird. But
yeah.
He said that Philadelphia must have won one and then Dallas won the other one.
Okay.
But that's weird that they played back-to-back.
Sports trivia and Wisconsin geography. That's you don't mess with Nightlight listeners. Okay. Terry in the 414 says the Kardashians.
Correct.
And I agree. The fame you just don't understand. Brett from Brown Deer. Kardashians, all of them. How are they so? I don't think I've ever met anyone who likes the Kardashians, and they have billions of followers and billions of dollars.
I love them. Okay.
Okay. You're the guy. Christy in Eau Claire says Tori Spelling. That's a good one. from Beverly Hills 90210. Excellent, Christy. Nice to hear from you. Thank you very much. Brett says, stole my answer, so I'll go Trump. Figured we'd hear a few of those. Tom from Hartford in the 262 says, number five, Sheboygan. But it wasn't number five. Sheboygan was not on the
Washington.
List.
It was Port Washington. It was number five, right?
But Sheboygan's a good town.
Maybe he thinks they're friendlier.
But is it a friendly town? Yeah. I think people in Sheboygan are friendly. And Tom says, happier on the water. Yeah, that could be. Monica in the 608 says, Mark Wahlberg. Kind of with you there,
Monica.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you definitely agree.
I do. And it's not that I don't think he's talentless. I just think he's one note. Monica says, I also have hair that is hard to mess up because it's curly, unruly, yet several have taken the challenge and failed badly. I pay $20.99 for a haircut in Madison at Simple Cuts. They're awesome. Also, you called me a pistol the other night. You're right. My grandma used to call my siblings and I pistols or piss ants. What's a worse or better thing to be called?
I don't know.
Pistol's someone that, you know, they're not afraid to say stuff. They're brash or bold. I think that's a good one.
Piss ants doesn't sound...
That doesn't sound as flattering.
That sounds bad.
It does sound bad. But I'm glad you're okay with that, Monica. Thank you. And you are a pistol. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, says the Kardashians have proven through the years to not have any talent but are considered celebrities. And that's kind of what I said, too. I understand their fame a little bit because they're outrageous, but they're talent. I don't think they're talented. I agree with your dad once again, Conrad.
I don't. You know, they have a lot of talent.
John Murray, you guys can talk this over off the air. John Murray in the 608 says, last month it was Kim Kardashian, but now after witnessing her remarkable acting abilities in her new show, it's Kim Kardashian. Well done, John. John says, my God, I get why Kanye liked her because he's a lunatic. But anyone else, why promote such activity? Well said. Tom in Hartford in the 262 says, I have a 2005 Sony 27-inch Trinitron that needs a converter. What is this? Swap meet here or Facebook Marketplace we doing here, Tom? Tom's listening to Nightlight hoping to pick up a new tube. A 2005 Sony 27-inch Trinitron that needs a converter. Con, see if you can help him out.
I don't know such technology.
Let's get a side hustle going here. Jewel Smith from Cross Plains is going to have to check out
that was
this
the,
time team.
That was the show that Melissa was talking about, Melissa Kay.
Oh, time team, yeah. It did sound really cool. He says, is it a precursor to Oak Island? That I don't know. Melissa from Willie Street says, hi, Pete. Remember Dinkelman, who bombed so bad on American Idol that he blasted Ryan Seacrest into stardom? Shake my head. Now you can't change the channel without seeing his face. He doesn't impress me at all. Melissa never disappoints. That's awesome stuff. All right. We are going to come back and let's talk Stranger Things. This is weird. Is this secret episode that everybody is talking about?
So
we're like an hour away.
Yeah, 40 yeah. minutes.
All right, we'll let you know about that, folks. And I'm going to tell you my story about trying to cancel a hotel room, too.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty frustrating. So you don't want to miss that. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
But it takes so long, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
My sweet Lord.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight, and you've got the Civic Media Radio Network back on the home court tonight here in Green Bay. Conrad Krieger working the board, working our way through many texts. I did not realize people would jump on this bandwagon as much as they did tonight, but outstanding texts because our question tonight is a statement Name an actor or celebrity whose fame you just don't understand. So that's what we're talking about here. Robert on social media says DJT. Don Joseph Turnbull. What could DJT possibly stand for?
I don't know.
Donnie T. Donald Trump. Thank you, Robert. Ross Bigley says Fallon. I can kind of see that. I mean, he's not a bad host. Every time he went on, the second he was in a sketch on Saturday Night Live, he just started cracking up. He never knocked my socks off. I think he's a better host than he was on Saturday Night Live. Conrad says, well, go ahead, Con, you take it.
Well, I read this. I read it this morning and I didn't fully read it. He said actor.
Yeah.
But I just put, just thinking about anyone who's famous.
Right.
Anyone who got famous off of being on Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Because those people really annoy me.
Is Dr. Oz, is he a spawn of Dr. Phil?
I don't know.
How about Dr. Phil?
Just I guess, yeah. I mean, there's some people who would go on branch off to like, after they're done with it.
Yeah.
And they have messed up problems or whatever. They just go on, then they're just famous and go on to like a reality show.
We have Oprah to thank for Dr. Phil. Who every time somebody would say something that was, he would just have attitude. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure he's a doctor, but he would say, you need to get out, like, of a relationship, whatever. It's like, come on, man. You're supposed to be a doctor.
You know, and I do think that Dr. Phil's show was staged as well, obviously. But
I don't think people would stage a production like that.
No.
Daniel Wheeler says, Pete Davidson. That's a good one. He says, parenthetically, I'm open to being educated, but it may be harder to prove than the Beale conjecture, which is like, I think that's like a really complicated math thing that I don't understand either. So there you go. Thank you, Danny Wheels. Good to hear from you, buddy. Tim Baker commented on Daniel's comment and said, he has never even made me smile. Okay, that's and then Amanda Nimmer, WGBW producer, says every single Kardashian, even Khloe? Of course, Khloe.
Even Kylie.
Even the guy who nobody knows. Sean Boyce on social media says, as an actor, Richard Benjamin. Well, that's interesting. He says, total ham in every role. I barely remember that guy. Sean, nice pull. Jay Campbell on social media says, Keanu Reeves is the definition of mid. Okay. I could see why people think that. I think in the right role, Keanu Reeves is really good, but there's somewhere he's...
I think he was hilarious in that new film that came out, Good Fortune.
I haven't seen it. Is he good? Yeah, he
could be good. I thought it was funny.
He's good as John Wick for whatever you think of those movies, but I could see why one would think that. David in the 608 says between Madison and La Crosse and Highway 14, talking about, of course, Gotham.
Gotham.
It's pronounced Gotham, not Gotham. Boy, you really riled some people up tonight, Connor.
Gotham. I'll never pronounce it the other way now.
Monica from Mount Horeb says Gotham is kind of like, I was kind of by Richland Center, but I believe they say it with a hard O. Go Tham. Everybody, listen, look at this text line. Conrad, it's blowing up. You've gone viral for a mispronunciation.
Gotham.
We got to have you get into the Oxford comma one night and just hear what people say. Tony the Trucker says, Pete, that's the same thing. Another one. Everybody telling us where Gotham is. He says, oops, east of Richland Center. John Murray says, John, I got a wall clipper 17 years ago and saved enough to buy a car last year in cash for haircuts. That was our haircut talk. John's a good-looking guy, but he spends a little money on his hair. I remember meeting him at the screening that night last month. And he meant to say Conrad. He also says, I'm not anti-barber or pro-bowl. But you can figure it out fast if you try. I just don't want to try. Tom in Hartford said, Melissa has the only one TV that she does not use. Okay. Tony the Trucker, Pete, I don't understand Will Ferrell's comedy. Just not funny to me. My dad is in that camp. And, you know, everything is subjective, but that kind of surprises me a little bit. Will Ferrell, I mean, but he's got his detractors. As funny as some people think he is. All right, Stranger Things. What do you think, Con? What are we doing here?
There's no secret episode. And the reason is I don't think the Duffer brothers are that smart to
do that. Who started it? Who started the rumor?
Well, you know, there's things of people just saying, well, it was too easy to kill Vecna.
Yeah.
It took 2 minutes.
Okay.
and it was too happy at the end.
Yeah.
But the thing that's about it is that, you know, they say in the graduation scene that at the end, their colors, you know, for the school are like green. And the year before, when Jonathan and Nancy graduated, they were in green gowns.
Okay.
And when Vecna, his character, I can't think of his name, Mr. What's It, or I can't think of his name right now, but
yeah,
the guy behind Vecna, he graduated really early on.
Okay. Steve is, not Steve or the other dude.
Well, I can't think of his name.
All right.
Anyways, when he graduated, it was orange. And that was in like the early 50s or something like that. And in the sequence where the kids graduate, it was orange. So they're saying maybe if Vecna has these kids under his curse and are playing a fun scenario in his head, when really they're actually under his curse in his little cave. And fans are saying this is the reason they're going to have a secret. I mean, there's definitely more reasons, the people, evidence that people have found. This is just a basic one I found, but that there's going to be a secret episode. And I don't give the Duffer Brothers that enough credit because I didn't like the last season. I don't think they're smart enough for that. Really.
I don't think it would get out, even if they signed NDAs. You would have heard about this. Somebody would have slipped a news item to somebody. And Hollywood is all about hyping stuff and the buildup and marketing. Now, it's a little different with streaming. You could put it out there and people would find it instantly because they just go by impressions and streams. But I don't think it's real either. But we'll know in about a half hour. And if it's real, folks, we'll let you know. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight coming right back with Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Right back.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks. It is a Wednesday night here as we broadcast statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Halfway through this, we are at the hump day of the show, Conrad.
That's true. That is true.
And I'm not making a joke, so I can say that. I'm just not going to make a joke hump day because that would be beneath me. But it is hump day, and we are at the hump day part of the show halfway through. And what's really exciting about that is my next guest joins us now over the stream. He is a really excellent film critic who lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, one of our state's biggest cities also, Con. I don't know if you know.
Not the friendliest, but
according to that list, of course. But he joins us now over the stream, Milwaukee-based film critic and our pal, Matt Miller. Matt, welcome back.
Hello, friends.
How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Always, buddy. How were your holidays?
It was lovely. It was very relaxed, very, very chill. Haven't done much, which is great, other than watching a lot of movies, which is, you know, 10 out of 10 holiday for me.
Can't beat it. I'm telling you, I was racking my brain, and I watched so many movies between Christmas and New Year's. I forgot a couple, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I watched that. So I'm excited to dive into all of that with you. But I have to ask you, I'm sure you're aware of this rumor about Stranger Things and the secret episode that might be coming out.
It would make sense that there would be a secret episode. If there's one thing we know about Netflix, it's that they will squeeze every drop out of a franchise, out of a moneymaker. So I'm sure they've got some loose footage out there. I'm sure they've got some stuff to squeeze some final Stranger Things out of it. And don't they have spinoffs planned too? Like,
supposedly,
Netflix is not special. Netflix is no different from any other studio. They will milk this cow until the cow has no more milk, and then they will chop the cow up into steaks, and then they will use it to decorate the house, you know?
That is really interesting, Matt. If they took, because I was talking about this with my son and then with Conrad when I got here, for something like this to be pulled off and the non-disclosure agreements and shooting something and getting no one to talk about it would be really tough. But what you said makes sense. If they had a show they put together with clips that they didn't use or footage that's laying around, I guess that could happen. And with Netflix or streamers, you go for views within a certain time. It's not about like, because everything is marketing and you want that first weekend, that opening weekend. But if they roll this out, that's kind of genius in a way.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because honestly, I feel like they're in a little bit of salvage mode. Like I feel like the vibe coming off of this final season is not exactly, you know, thrilled. I feel like everyone's pretty kind of middling about this finale. I will say I checked out of Stranger Things in season, I think four, when they did their 5.5 hour long final episode, and I got like 2 hours in and I was like, I'm done, man. Like life's too short to spend 5.5 hours watching a Stephen King ripoff, you know? Like I needed something, you know, that was less consumptive. And that's, you listen, a lot of people out there like Stranger Things. It's not a bad show. I did not disenjoy my time. I was just, you know, it's not my thing particularly. And I, frankly, I don't think it's many of the actors' things anymore either.
Boy, that's a great point. And I think you're right about that, because like, I know here's why I think some critics, and you know, whatever, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. We may have talked about this in the past. I think critics are much more forgiving than they used to be 30 years ago. I cannot believe some of the reviews things get. And critics like Stranger Things more than the fans by a wide margin. The fans seem more savvy about this show than critics, which is odd.
I think some of it is the access thing that a lot of critics right now, a lot of particularly, you know, blog critics and stuff like that, they play the access game on some level. So, you know, you don't want to be that harsh if you want to get the access to the Netflix stuff, if you want to do interviews and things like that. So you're going to soft pedal on things of that nature if you have a reason to. I think a lot of it, too, is just a little bit of, you know, recency bias in some cases for critics where, you know, it's interesting the stuff that, I mean, I remember on the movie side of things, people loved Star Trek Into Darkness at the time, critics did. It has like an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is now considered easily one of the worst Star Trek movies.
Wow.
And like, especially among Star Trek fans. So it's this strange thing where I think critics are not immune from being caught up in the moment of having this sensation of like, ooh, I'm watching the show I'm very excited about and wanting to not be disappointed by it. Critics are just humans, you know?
Yeah.
We are fans like anyone else when we watch this stuff.
And you got to make a living. I get that. And that's what happens when studios are owned by, you don't want to piss people off. It's not like, you know, a studio is just a studio. It's part of this company and this company. They don't want bad press. You know what I mean?
Well, and some of it too is, you know, fandoms too. I mean, you see that with albums of pop stars and stuff like that, where no one wants to be too critical of the new Taylor Swift album or the new Beyonce album or the new Taylor Swift movie or Beyonce movie, because you know that you are going to be absolutely swarmed on social media by the fandom. And I don't know if the Stranger Things fandom has that kind of, you know, that kind of aggressive following that would, you know, I mean, we saw it with the Avengers when, you know, the film critic A.O. Scott from the New York Times dared to give the Avengers a middling review. And it became the whole story. It because Samuel Jackson went after him. And it's it's all very silly.
Yeah.
And I love The Avengers, but it is not a movie that you can't say doesn't have some flaws with it.
Of course, no movie. Of course, yeah. So what did you think of the results of the Critics' Choice Awards? It seems like the big winner was One Battle After Another. Best, I think, adapted screenplay, picture director. Sinners took home some awards. Anything we can draw from or any surprises from that night?
Yeah, so I think the number one thing to take away from the Critics' Choice Awards is that they don't matter. And what I mean by that is that no critic votes for the Academy Awards. They're utterly and completely different bodies. You know, the Academy is people in the industry. It is, you know, actors, directors, producers, below the line people, agents. It's a whole world. Critics is National Critics. They're two different groups of people. It's the same reason why when the Golden Globes happen next weekend, nothing can really technically be ascertained from it, because the people who vote for the Golden Globes are completely different from the people who vote for the Oscars.
Right.
What you can take is that winning is a good look. It is good to stay in front of people's minds. It is good to look like there is a following for you. It is a good idea. It is good. It behooves you to look like a winner. And One Battle After Another is kind of the favorite going into the season, and they didn't lose any steam. You know, they won Best Picture, they won Best Director for Paul Thomas Anderson, they won Best Adapted Screenplay as well. So, and you know, you could say the Critics' Choice might have been a more populist group of people, and maybe that was a place Sinners could have gained some ground, and Sinners really didn't do that much at all, except for, you know, kind of the best newcomer and kind of below the line kind of Oscars. I think if there is something interesting, it's that the supporting categories are totally a free for all. I don't think anyone has any idea who's going to win there. On Sunday night, Jacob Elordi won for Frankenstein and Amy Madigan won for Weapons for playing the villain of Weapons.
She was great.
Which I don't think anyone was sitting there watching Weapons this past fall thinking to themselves, Oscars, I'm watching an Oscar performance. That's not an insult, but it's just not the kind of thing that the Oscars tend to go for.
I didn't know it was Amy Madigan until like
later.
Neither
did I. It was like, wow, this was a really, really fun, colorful, great villain performance. And then it's like, oh, wow, like the Oscar thing is really going to happen. We've got a little bit of the substance style genre embrace of this performance. We'll see how far that can go. You know, we'll see she got, I believe, a Screen Actors Guild nomination or the Actors Award nomination today. We'll see what kind of happens with some of the other awards, BAFTA and things of that nature. But no one really knows this because no one's confident. There's no obvious plant the flag, this person's due. There's no obvious narrative. It's just a lot of really good, interesting performances.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to see that play out.
It's a great point. Matt Miller is my guest. He's a Milwaukee-based film critic who joins us here periodically. One of our best chums here at Nightlight. And we love talking movies with Matt. Do you, what do you think about, I said this last time, I know you're pals with Rob Thomas, another really good film critic, but like
great critic, great stuff.
If you're Ryan Coogler, what do you have to do? Like Sinners, whether you like it or not, it has every element of filmmaking in it. I loved it. I think one battle after another I like better, but man, what a year, because he seems like that movie seems built for the Oscars, even if he didn't intend to do it that way.
Yeah, and I think what's tricky about Sinners is that it is not the kind of movie that the Oscars tend to embrace. They have more in recent years, in the past 10 years or so, embrace a genre movie. I mean, that is a movie that ends with 30 minutes of bloody vampire violence.
Right.
You know, it's but it's incredibly crafted. But the Oscars, for all their changes, can also be a real prove it organization still. They can be this group that really wants you to earn your nomination and then to earn the win. You saw that happen with Leo. You saw that happen. You're seeing it happen a little bit with Timothy Chalamet. You say it happened with Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie, where it's like, no, you got to get the clips on your card before you get your Oscar nomination. Because if I'm correct, I don't believe, I think Coogler's been nominated once before for Black Panther, maybe?
Nominated, yeah. I think for best, well, I think
they entirely missed out for the most part on Creed, other than Sylvester Stallone. And then Michael B. Jordan, this would be his first nomination this year, which is crazy to think about because he's so good in Creed. He's so good in Fruitvale Station. He's so good in Black Panther.
Yeah.
This would be his first nomination as well. I think you have this tough place right now where, you know, Sinners should be the artistic populist movie that the Oscars surround because, you know, it made this blockbuster money, but it's also this super creative vision that was embraced by audiences. But then you also have one battle after another, which is a populist similar hit where, you know, audiences really embraced this auteur's vision for what a blockbuster can be. So and you have somebody who's maybe even more overdue, Paul Thomas Anderson, who has also, I don't believe, ever won an Oscar. So it's a tough year to be. And this is not a part of this is also a part of it. Both movies are Warner Brothers movies. And
right.
Warner Brothers has tons of, you know, they've got lots in their at their disposal. But at some point, a studio has to pick a horse. It's very hard to push a lot of movies for awards at the same time. That's why Netflix tends to fall flat a lot of times. That's why A24 movies, a lot of them fall by the wayside some years. At some point, Warner Brothers, I think they're going to start putting their chips on one battle after another because that's the one that's got the heat right now.
Right. Great point. We've got about a minute before we have to do a break, Matt, but what, you know, thumbnail sketch from you, aside from Sinners and One Battle After Another, what else do you see being nominated potentially for Best Picture?
For best picture, yeah, Sinners, one battle after another. You're still going to see Hamnet up there, the Zoe Chow movie. And I think Jesse Buckley's probably locked to win best actress there. Marty Supreme had a very good showing at the Actor Award nominations this morning. I would expect to see that there as well. What you didn't see at the Actor Award nominations, but I think what you will see at the Oscar nominations is international movies. I think you're going to see The Secret Agent, the Brazilian movie starring Wagner Moura. I think you're going to see It Was Just an Accident, the Jafar Panahi Iranian movie. I think you'll probably see maybe a No Other Choice getting in there. You know, there's an embarrassment of riches in the international feature category. And between getting absolutely ghosted by the SAG Award nominations this year, and then also the Critics' Choice Awards giving Secret Agent Best International Film on the red carpet before the show, like even worse than the Oscars, putting that on beforehand.
Hold
I think
that
there
thought.
May be a movement that people are like,
we're coming right back with Matt Miller, folks. It's Nightlight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. It is great to have you here, folks. Tonight's question is really a statement. Name an actor or celebrity whose fame you just don't understand. We'll play catch up on some texts in just a moment. But right now, we've got a few more minutes with our pal Matt Miller, who I rudely cut off before the break. And you were on a roll, dude. So let's talk about some movies, Matt, because you've seen some of the ones I haven't. I have to, and I'm sorry I'm starting with this, but I really want to see Anaconda. It just looks fun. Maybe not Oscar nominated, but.
All these riches out in theaters right now, and you're like, gotta get that Anaconda in my veins.
I gotta see another Paul Rudd movie. Yeah.
I wish I could tell you it's worth your while. I did not have a great time with Anaconda. Okay. I laughed a little bit more than I thought I would. But it's got a real problem where it either should be funnier than it is or it should be scarier than it is. And it kind of falls into this kind of like middling middle ground. And so you've got this very sweaty meta premise about, you know, guys who liked Anaconda go out into the jungle to film an Anaconda like home video. But then they end up in Anaconda. It's it's the kind of thing that you could imagine Lord and Miller, the guys who did 21 Jump Street, pulling off really well. And unfortunately, the guy who directed this and the writing crew, they're not on par with Lord and Miller. Those guys are very good at what they do, but there's a reason why when Hollywood has a bad idea for a movie, they give it to them because they can spin it into gold. Other people, it kind of just turns into a bad idea.
All right, more locally. Song Sung Blue. I still have not seen it. I'm embarrassed. What did you think?
Are you even allowed to be a Wisconsinite if you haven't seen Song Sung Blue yet?
Listen, that's one of 100 things I still need to do as a Wisconsinite. But yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's worth your while. It's the kind of movie that I can be very resistant to. It's a very sentimental movie. It's a very, you know, unapologetic, tearjerker, you know, crowd pleaser, but it's very effective. It gets the job done. I was kind of happy to see Kate Hudson get nominated this morning at the SAG or the Actor Award nominations. I think she's really good in the movie. She really pops well. I don't think this is just the Milwaukeean in me, though. I desperately wish they actually filmed some of the movie here in Milwaukee. It is the kind of movie that needs a sense of place and flavor.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sorry, but Belushi doing a obvious Midwestern accent just isn't enough. Like, I want to spend more time in the world, more depth in the world of Milwaukee State Fair cover bands. And, you know, the world of these kind of, you know, cover artists. Like, you want a little bit more depth, but I know they've got a lot of story to run through in this movie of tragedy and success and all of that stuff. So I get why they had to remove some flavor for that, but that's the kind of stuff that makes a movie like this incredible. It's the difference between a movie like Southpaw that no one remembers and The Fighter, which got nominated for Best Picture.
Boy, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. They filmed none of it in Milwaukee?
As far as I know, they filmed none of it in Milwaukee. I'll look that up at the very least during the break. But I'll be honest, doesn't look like Milwaukee that much either.
Okay.
Like it did not have a sense of the place that I wanted as much.
I'm with you though, dude. I think, you know, if why wouldn't you utilize the location as like almost a character? I think especially a city like Milwaukee would really, that seems important.
Well, the answer to that is tax credits.
Yeah. exactly. Well said. And then Avatar, thoughts?
Speaking of blue, yeah, I love the Avatar movies. If you are not a fan of Avatar, this won't be the one that wins you over. It's very similar to the last movie. It's still very, you know, earnest in its James Cameron bombastic way. Nobody makes epic cinema like James Cameron. No one makes a world that looks that incredible and puts the care and dedication into every element of his world, all of the creatures, all of the characters. I get all the issues people have with the movie. It's very long. It feels like the script took a bunch of scraps from the last movie and kind of put them into this movie as well, because it was like, hey, PyaCon and the whale stuff was a big hit in Way of Water. We should do more of that. And then they forgot they had a whole Fire and Ash script that they had too.
Yeah. Whole last part of the movie seemed like they just took the ending from the second one. And I don't know.
It's very familiar. And if it wasn't impeccably crafted, I'd be more mad. And if it didn't have giant whales crushing evil human whale hunters and, you know, giant squid beaks, you know, munching on those evil whale hunters, I'd probably be more upset. But James Cameron's very good at what he does. You know, there's a reason why he just keeps making $1 billion every time he comes out.
I just read that this will be his fourth movie that tops $1 billion, or was it that he had three that had $2 billion and no other filmmaker
in a row? Yeah,
that could
in a row, he's had four in a row to make $1 billion, and that's not even including Aliens and Terminator 2,
right?
And Terminator, he's an incredible filmmaker. I love the worlds he builds, and I'm fine with more Avatar. And here's a crazy thing. This Avatar, not even the best in the series, is going to make more combined than all three Marvel movies that came out last
year. How about that? Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
How is that for cultural impact?
Yeah. Hey, Matt, we got about 60 seconds left before I let you go. Bear Packers.
I'm going to fill 61 of them.
I cheated on the time because I knew when you get going, you get on a Matt Miller roll, and I love it. Bear Packer prediction?
You know what? I'm going to take the Packers because I want to be in a good mood today, and I want to feel a sense of positivity in very unpositive times right now. So I'm going to say the Packers get a win and bring some glow and some happiness to my bitter, sad heart. Go Pack. I'm hoping to see it. I wouldn't bet on it, but that is what I'm hoping for and want to see.
That was so melancholy from a guy who's usually pretty positive. Positive prediction, though. That's good.
Bottom tier day. I'm trying to end it on a positive note.
Well, you've helped us do just that, Matt. Thank you, buddy. Always fun. We'll talk again as award season gets rolling.
Pete, it's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. All right, Matt Miller, folks. Always fun to talk to Matt, and we will definitely, as I just said, be talking to him as award season marches forward. Okay, we are coming back after the news. Daniel Koenig is coming up in hour number three for some Albert Brooks talk. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.